Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
All right, if you have your Bible this morning, you can open up to Genesis 39. Genesis is the first book of the Bible, so it shouldn't be that hard to find. While you're turning there, I want to tell you something. Of all days that I could have come here to share a message with you all, today is my son Judah's first birthday. So yeah, come on now, right? I don't know if we have a photo. Yeah, there's a little photo of him right there. If you don't have children and you wonder why everybody throws one-year-old birthday parties, right? They're not going to remember anything. Just know it's for the parents, right? It's just celebrating that they made it through the year. So on May 30th, obviously, of 2020, my wife and I had Judah, and we were at Centennial Hospital. And it was in the middle of the kind of the height of the pandemic. And I remember Judah almost to this minute, he was born around 12 o'clock on May 30th, arriving here. And I remember not only did I not know how to be a parent at all, I didn't know how to put diapers on a baby. I think I'd put a diaper on one other baby in my entire life, right? I was terrified of him, and he was only 6 pounds, 11 ounces. I had no idea, in a very real sense, how to raise a kid. I also had no idea how to raise a baby in the middle of a pandemic, right? How was I going to help him socialize? What about all these masks, right? I wanted my son to love Jesus. I wanted my son to, like, love people. But honestly, in a very real way, I just wanted my son to live through the next day, right? So questions naturally began to swirl around in my mind. And if you could look at my Google searches at 2 a.m. during that span of time, baby sleep apnea, what does it mean that the baby breathes a little heavier? What does it mean that he coughs, but he doesn't cough like he normally coughs, right? He kind of coughs a little bit. Like, if you could look at it, you would see that I had all kinds of questions. And so this produced all kinds of anxiety in me. And so eventually I had a good mentor in my life who I came to him with all these questions. Man, how do I do this? How do I do that? And you know, it's interesting. Good mentors, they never kind of like meet you right where you are. He kind of lets you like word vomit a little bit and then they'll respond to you. And he said, Hunter, you're asking, you know, a lot of questions. And they're good questions. Like, yeah, you should want to know what, you know, what you should feed your kid, right? But you're not asking the best question. And so my brain was thinking to myself, I don't know, maybe the best question is, you know, what pediatrician I should get him to. I have no idea, right? I mean, it was dad brain fog. And he hit me with the Jesus juke. He said, you're not asking the question, God, are you with me? Now, in that moment, right, I heard that, and I'm like, that's not practical, not super helpful. Of course, I know theologically that he's with me. I mean, he's never going to leave me. But really, how does that help? And maybe you're like me here today. Maybe you don't have a child, but we all have anxieties, right? Like, we all walk through life with anxieties about relationships, with trials. We know maybe there's some of us here today who a sin issue eats your lunch every single week. We all have these things where we are wondering, how do I get the better job? How do I catch the guy's attention? How do I make it through this week? How do I pay rent in the city of Nashville, right? Like, all of us have questions. And maybe you've gotten really good at asking them and never receiving an answer that totally satisfies. But maybe there's a reason for that. So if you are here today, or if you are watching with us online, hear something. And if you hear nothing else, hear this. That the question, God, are you with me right now, is the most important question that we can ask in any circumstance. Knowing that answer and knowing the answer to the question, God, are you with me, will release you from fear. It will release you from bondage and the terror of the unknown. Knowing that answer puts all of our other questions in the right order. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see where that is in God's word today. So if you will look with me, we're going to read Genesis 39, and we're going to read just a little bit, just the first six verses, and we're going to stop and chat, and then we'll finish out the chapter on the latter half. So if you'll look with me in Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt, An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guards, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. And it was when his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made everything he did successful. Joseph found favor with his master and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Okay, we're going to pray and invite God into this space, and then we'll chat. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are welcome here. I'm grateful that this book that was written some 4,000 years ago is relevant to today, because we are your people, and this book was written to your people, for your people, to show us your heart for us. And so, Lord, I pray against any distractions today. Lord, we are here for a reason. And I just pray that you would show up. But you always do. So open our ears and our eyes to see you clearly. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So if this is your first week with us, or if we need to do a little bit of a recap about the guy named Joseph, who we're talking about. It's not Jesus's dad's, right? That's New Testament Joseph. We're talking about Old Testament Joseph. A man who was dearly loved by his father, dearly loved by the Lord, and his brothers did not like it. So one day they devised this plan to throw our boy Joseph into a well, and then they eventually sold him into slavery. And Mike talked about last week the idea that God can use any of that and that he is with us through all that. And today we're just going to expound on it. So if you're taking notes today, which you can do. I'm a former teacher, so I love it when I see people writing. You don't get any kind of extra credit with me. There's no transcript here, but I would give you a shiny star, right? So if you're taking notes, our first point that we have today is that God's presence is the most important thing about you, right? Joseph, this man, was a foreigner in a foreign land. Can you imagine Joseph being thrown into a well, betrayed by his brothers, then sold into slavery, and then the Bible tells us that he was sold once more into Egypt. And he found himself, right, in this household, and this guy named Potiphar. And this household was a very wealthy and powerful household. He was like one guy underneath Pharaoh. So he was kind of like a vice president, if you will. And so Joseph lands in this guy's house, doesn't speak the language, is plucked out of his culture, and here he is. And, you know, it's in moments like this that if I were in Joseph's shoes, that I would have some sort of crisis of faith, right? I go from being this highly exalted brother. He had dreams that kind of talked about him being highly exalted. Lord, you put dreams in my heart and in my brain. And for some reason, I am about as far away from those dreams as possible. And you might be here today and you realize that you were no closer to the dreams that you have than you were 2 or 3 years ago. And what we're going to see from that is that the Lord is with us no matter how far away we feel like we are. So Joseph is here, and he's thrown into this place, and what we don't see is we don't see this massive crisis of faith, right? We see that Joseph was moving forward in the land, that he was succeeding, that for some reason, whatever Joseph did was really good, so much so that Potiphar made him in charge of his entire home. Why? Why did this happen to Joseph? Well, the Bible would be clear that it was because God was with Joseph. Now, what we don't want to do, right, is we don't want to say that as long as you recognize that God is with you in this life, that no matter what you're going to, you will thrive, you will succeed, you will slay, you will do everything amazingly, right? Because there are elements in this story. Remember, the Bible was written for us, but it was not written to us. So there are elements of this story that God is using uniquely to build the redemption of Israel. Remember, Jesus' bloodline will come through this family. But we know this, that God's heart for you and for me is the same as it was for Joseph. So what we can do is we can know this, that God's heart towards Joseph is the same for us. So how does this story talk to us now? You see, God doesn't promise to remove us from hard situations, but he does guarantee that he will walk with us through them. So being a Christian does not mean that all of a sudden everything in your life will be great, because you literally can't make sense of any character in the Bible. The disciples had their lives lost because of their devotion to Christ. But what we do get, if you are a Christian here today, and if you are not, I'm glad that you're here, because you're getting to see the richness of what it means to be in Christ here in this life and the next. But for you who are in Christ today, you are not alone in whatever circumstance you're in. I think of Psalm 23, verse 4. You know, the text that everybody reads at funerals. But man, I'm going to tell you, this is really good for us now. So Psalm 23, verse 4 says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. For you're with me. Now, if I'm writing that text, right, if I'm writing the Bible, thank goodness that I'm not, right? But if I'm writing the Bible, I would think that this would say, even though I walk through the valley of success, I will fear no evil because you're with me, right? Or, Lord, why in the world would you allow evil to come upon me at all? Like, if I am your beloved, why would you allow these bad things to happen? Why does this verse even have to exist, right? Shouldn't you take care of us? But friends, it's in the valley, in the hard seasons, that we can most clearly feel and see God's presence, which is the best thing that God can give us. There's a worship song written a while ago, and it says, "Thank you for the lonely times, because it was there that I learned to thirst for your presence. Thank you for the scars that I bear, because they declare that you are my healer." Friends, there are things in the valley, there are things in the hard moments of life that God will not do, cannot do in you, unless you are deeply wounded, because then he can use you greatly. When you are aware, right, that, Lord, you are with me, even now, even in this failing of a circumstance, even when I have blown it, when you are aware of God's presence, your gaze is not fixed on what is happening to you, but what God is going to do through you in this circumstance. So contextualize it, right? What are you going through right now, right? What is the hardship that you are facing right now, right? My family is facing all kinds of health issues. Right, my stepdad, I have no idea what's happening with his health. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Maybe there's something that God uniquely wants to do in the middle of my own family's crisis that he cannot do otherwise. So we have that. So we have Joseph in this foreign land, and then he's put in charge. Now look with me at verses 7 through 23. So this is kind of a lengthy passage, but it's important for us to read it. So starting in verse 7, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome," okay? So we've got a good-looking dude here, right? "And after some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, 'Sleep with me.' But he refused. 'Look,' he said to his master's wife, 'with me here my master does not concern himself with anything in his house, and he has put all that he has, that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife.'" Seems logical, right? "So how could I do this immense evil, and how could I sin against God?" Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Now one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garments and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. And when she had saw that he had left his garment with her and run outside, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "my husband brought a Hebrew man to make fools of us. He came to me so he could sleep with me, and I screamed as loud as I could. And when he heard me screaming for help, He left his garment beside me and ran outside. She put Joseph's garment beside her until his master came home, that being Potiphar. And then she told him the same story. The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to make a fool of me. But when I screamed for help, he left his garment beside me and ran outside. And when his master heard the story, his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me." He was furious, and he had him thrown into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. Key phrase, he right here in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. Okay, so part two of our boy Joseph's time in captivity. First time, he's sold into slavery in a foreign land, and then all of a sudden, good things are happening to him. He's doing great. The Lord is with him. He's being faithful, and he can't help it that he is looking good, okay? He cannot help it that God has, for some reason, just blessed him with good looks. But he's there, and he is making it happen. He's doing well, and he catches the eye of Potiphar's wife. Man, can you imagine, right, that circumstance for Joseph? But we see another example of God's presence sustaining through terrible circumstances in the last part of Genesis 39. Verse 7, after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." What did Joseph do? He didn't get in, right? He didn't give in. He refused. And day after day, what did Joseph do? Continue to be faithful. Continue to be faithful. Put one foot in front of the other. And there might be for you right now where, Lord, I am showing up faithfully. I'm doing the right things. I'm going to the Bible studies. I'm sharing my faith with other people. And Lord, there's just not a lot of reward for me. It's interesting, Potiphar's wife here thought that he was so good looking that one day she moved on him physically. Instead of sitting there and fighting the temptation, Joseph tore out so quickly that he left his clothes behind, right? And instead of being rewarded for his fidelity, he was punished by being thrown into prison. And it's here that we have an issue with the story, right? If the guy had given in to the temptation, sure, throw the dude in the pit, throw him in the miry bog, give him all the worst stuff. He's no good, right? Throw that guy out. But he was faithful. He honored the Lord in his actions, right? And we want the Lord to come through for our boy Joseph. We want the Lord to come through for us in the way that we want to do. And that makes total sense. If we think that the Christian life is a lot like a math equation. Now, I'm a minister, which means that I have no idea what math equations are, but I do know what 1 + 1 = 2, right? Look, at my previous church, there were times where we'd take 75 kids to camp and 100 of them would come back saved, right? So numbers are not my thing. But here's where we are. We think that God's goodness to us should be like a math equation where obedience plus the Lord's power equals what? Blessing for me. After all, I was obedient to you, Lord. And we should be obedient. Don't hear me say today that God, you shouldn't be obedient because things don't always turn out how they should. We should. And there are a lot of biblical principles to Joseph's actions here. 1 Corinthians 6:18 tells us that we should flee sexual immorality. So this is a side note for free. Hey, friends, don't try to mess with sexual temptation in the sense of like you're going to buck up and fight it. Flee from it. It is better for you to throw your computer out of your window and let it crash on the ground than try to face sexual temptation head on. Flee from it. We can learn that from Joseph's story. However, the point of our text today, right, and the point of our life focus is not hard season avoidance by our own obedience, right? The point of our lives is not to get out of all the hard things by being good enough. The point of our lives is to experience more of God each and every day until we meet him in heaven. Why are we here? Why are we existing on earth? Because we want to taste more and more of the Lord's goodness all the way up until we pass away and go to be with him forever. You see, Joseph was thrown into prison after having been falsely accused for something he didn't do. Wrong. That was wrong towards him. However, he got the reward. Why? Because verse 21 tells us the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. You see, the pit then became the object of God's blessing. Because the best thing that could happen to you and to me is to meet the Lord in our point of need. And the pit was that vehicle for Joseph. Corey Ten Boom, who helped to lead and help Jews to escape under Nazi concentration during World War II and herself was thrown into a concentration camp, said this: "You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." There are things that God wants to do in you that has to be met in the valley of life. For Joseph, he more than ever discovered that the question, "Is God with me through this?" would be the thing that sustained him through every part of his life. God's presence was the most important thing about him. And friends, the idea that God is with you is the most important thing about you. It's not getting the right gig. It's not getting the best transcript or into the best grad school. Paradoxically, in this life, if we succeed in good things without the Lord, they can become curses in our life. So, today, how do we know that the Lord is with us? If you are a Christ follower here today, then you have God's presence with you always. How do we know that? When God came to send his son, his name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this means that you were never alone. You know, it's funny, taking verses out of context, I hear a lot of people doing that. And one of those is talking about our bodies being a temple. And a lot of times you hear that to like shame people who are eating an entire cheese pizza, right? Bro, don't you know your body is a temple, right? Come on now, don't put those 10,000 calories in your body. Your body's a temple, right? Really what that means is that the Lord has taken up residence inside of you so that wherever you go, the Lord is with you. In the Old Testament, Solomon built a grand temple so that the Lord would reside there. Then when Jesus died, the veil of that temple that contained the presence of God was torn in half, meaning that the most grand building in the whole entire world is you, because God is with you. This is the promised hope of our weary hearts. 1 John 2:1 tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This idea of advocacy is that God literally stands beside you as you are sinning and stumbling your way through life. And when you fall down, he picks you up. And then when you go into the miry pit, he picks you up. And when you are failing and you don't even want to get out of bed, the Lord is beside you. And that is the kind of advocacy, the kind of standing up alongside of, not just that he's standing beside you, but that he is literally bending down and picking you up and walking with you. And yeah, that's not a strategy for how to pay the bills. And yeah, that's not a strategy for how to get the girl or how to do this, right? But maybe life is not all about accomplishment. Maybe it's about walking with the Lord faithfully. And that the good and the bad that happens in our lives is the scaffolding that God needs to put around the building of your life to honor him. So I'm gonna ask the band to come up alongside me. But while they're doing that, what I want to do right now is to give you some diagnostic questions to consider. And you can write these down, just think about them. But my question for you is this: what are you relying on right now in the midst of your struggle? When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that you do? That will show you a lot about where your day is. When you are thinking about When you were thinking about the hard times, what's the first thing that you turn to? Is it food? Is it pornography? Is it workaholism? What are the things that you turn to? When life goes the opposite direction, do you turn towards earthly relationships or towards the most important relationship that you could ever have? Today, as we look at the life of Joseph, know that the most important question that you can wrestle with through life's challenging seasons is, God, are you with me? And if you are in Christ, the answer is always yes. Friend, if God is with you, then the victory is yours. You already have it. Everything else is a detail in your life. So what I'd like to do right now is just to ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And just take some time, just 60 seconds, to talk with God. Ask him to reveal himself to you more. Like Joseph, you might be in the pit right now. You might be thrown into jail and forgotten about. But like Joseph, God is with you. Would you ask him to reveal himself more?
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.